Resh Peches, Resh Peches, go in order, much as the Rambam does in Parakeh. The Jew is going to be Mekayim the mitzvah of mezuzah. So what's the process? So in Resh Peches, we talk about how you create and craft a mezuzah, and even how you roll it up. And then Resh Peches picks up, and now that the mezuzah is rolled up, so what do I do with it? What do I do with it? And that corresponds to the end of Parakeh the Rambam from Halacha Zayin and on. So we saw that Halacha Aleph, if he does mention putting it into the tube, that's based on the Gemara Bava Metzia, but then he focuses on the Bracha, and then we spend time on Se'ifim Beis and Gimel of Siman Resh Peites, the questions of the proper positioning, proper location for the mezuzah, how deep into the doorway, how high, and the greatest excitement is about which side, right and left. Now we come to the second half of the siman, and now that we figured out, and now that we're ready to make the bracha and put up the mezuzah, and we know where we want to put the mezuzah up, so now how do you actually go about doing that? So Sif Dalet opens, Siman Resh Peites and Shulchan Aruch said, Dalet Ketzav Kova. So how do you put it up? So this is really what the Shulchan Aruch says about how you put it up is a combination, number one, of the assumption that it needs to be connected to the doorpost. And that is, there are two layers of that notion, that there needs to be a kviyas ha-mezuzah. It's a bavli and then a yerushalmi. The bavli, the very beginning of the kviyas mezuzah, so yes, lama beiz and beiz, the bavli says it has to be kavua as opposed to tali b'makel. Kavua as opposed to tali b'makel, so that means it has to be attached. The Gemara there says that the people of Beis Munbaz was a Jewish king. He appears, actually, Yonad Yoma appears, Munbaz's mother, Hilni Hamalka, appears prominently at the beginning of Masechta Sukkah. Munbaz was apparently a Jewish king of some area, some country in Chutzlarts, and he had government employees who traveled on government business, and they were Shomri Torah Mitzvahs, who regretted and missed the opportunity to be Mekayim Mitzvahs Mezuzah, because they were constantly on the move from place to place to place to place. That's what it sounds like. So they wanted to make at least a Zecher LeMezuzah. So they had these, sounds like sticks. They had a stick with a mezuzah attached to the stick. And then you show up to your hotel room, so you lean the stick against the doorpost, Zecher LeMezuzah. So that's only, the Gemara says, a Zecher LeMezuzah. But you're not actually accommodating that way. They were not chayiv in mezuzah. That we'll get to Hashem later on. They didn't own the space, and they weren't there for a period of 30 days, and they were in chutzlaret. So that combination, if you're only in a rental, a short-term rental in chutzlaret, there is no chayiv mezuzah whatsoever. But they were constantly in short-term rentals. They were moving from punduk to punduk, from hotel to hotel. So zeichel mezuzah, they did this tala'a b'makal. But you're not actually mekayim anything with tala'a b'makal, because it needs to be kavur. That's the way the tour presents that gemara of tala'a b'makal. The problem of tala'a b'makal, the gemara says, is no good. The problem is that it's not kavua. And then the Rambam quotes from Yerushalmi at the end of Maseches Megillah. It's a little mysterious. Bavli, as we saw, needed to find an address for Hilchos Mezuzah, so they had the Mishnayos and Menachos. These Mishnayos, this Mishnah and Menachos, became the source for the primary location of Hilchos Mezuzah here, and we'll get to Mishem after Yontif in Maseches Yuma. The Yerushalmi, the primary location, is the end of Maseches Megillah. After we're done with the last Mishnah, Yerushalmi says, now let's talk about Megillah, Mezuzah a little bit. We discuss Mezuzah there in Perek Dalet in Halachot Beis. So one of the opening dinim there is a Tala B'Makal, and specifically, Yerushalmi appears to say that it has to be B'Masmerim. So what that adds, and the Rambam quotes that, B'Masmerim, that's where he got from. Every line in the Rambam, as the Rambam himself points out, and Chaim Kanievsky stresses in his Kiryas Melech, every line, every example, every detail in Mishnah Torah, he's quoting some source in Chazal, a Bavli, Yerushalmi, a Medrash Halacha, something, Tosefta, Mishnah, unless he says Yerali. So when he talks about putting it into shvoper shal kaner shal eitz, and then putting it into a tube, that's based on the gufta dekanya, maseches bav metzia kofal from the basic of bezim ralph. And when he talks about attaching it, chot mechabero, so the Rambam writes in Perek Hei Halacha Vav, mechabero sal mezuzah ha-pesach v'masmer, o chofer v'mezuzah ha-pesach, machas bav mezuzah. The two examples he gives is either you nail it in, you put in a tube and nail the tube to the doorpost, or you drill in and slide the mezuzah in. So the drilling in that period, the example here in Bavli, and the nailing, that's based on this Yerushalmi in Megillah. So again, so the Bavli says you have to attach it, as opposed to totally b'makil. The Yerushalmi says not only has to be attached, it has to be, sounds like firmly attached. B'masmerim. So that's the Mechaber quotes here. Okay, it's a kovi masmerim b'masmerim mezuzah pesach o yachbar b'chafira yik b'erabah. And that's a summary of the Rambam. The Shach quotes a very, very lengthy Bach on the side of the Torah. The Shach quotes this lengthy Bach very briefly in one line, Sivkat and Zayin. He says, this need to do it b'masmeirim, that it needs to be firmly attached, that's only if it's going to be there for a lengthy period of time. B'hu sheichtu l'kein, says Yerushalmi. So that means if you only put mezuzah short, if you put mezuzah short term, the shach quotes the bach, then you don't have to attach it so firmly. And Yiluk Chovas Hadar quotes many who were unhappy with this chiluk. The truth, if you look in the Yerushalmi, the bach is based in Yerushalmi. If you look in the Yerushalmi, it's far from clear as to Yerushalmi means. The Karban Ha'eda, when the classic Mefarshim side Yerushalmi has a different read in Yerushalmi, far from clear that the din of Kavius Bechozek is limited to a long-term installation. When would you even have a short-term installation? When would you put up a mezuzah short-term? What does it even look like? So you can have two situations. One is working off what we spoke on the last Chabura. You mentioned that you're trying to figure right and left. I was just I just did a mezuzah walkthrough a couple nights ago. Some new construction. And we spoke about exactly what we spoke on the last Chavura. There's some complexities in terms of Rov HaKnisa and Ikar Tashmish. It's not clear. They have a butler's pantry in between the dining room and the kitchen, a little room in between the dining room and the kitchen where you have a place to wash the tzitzis daim, and you have a pantry off of that room. So it's far from clear which way the mezuzahs go. But in terms of Rov HaKnisa in particular, it's not 100% clear which way the traffic patterns will be. So I tell them, we spoke last Chavur. If you're not sure, so you'll put the mezuzah temporary guess. And after a couple of months, check back in and check in with yourself. Look at your traffic patterns as you break into the house and see whether you got the guess the Rov HaKnisa right or wrong. So the question is, how are you going to put up a mezuzah short term that will allow you... You have beautifully painted walls. How do you put a mezuzah in a short-term fashion that you'll be able to take it down and move it if necessary? And that's one type of short-term. So you have a suffix, which way to put it. Other type of short-term is if you talk about are living somewhere, short-term. If you're renting a space for more than a month, or if you own the property short-term, then even if you're there for a day, you're chayv in mezuzah. Or if you're renting an Eretz Yisrael, we'll get to these dinim and simrei shtariyav, then even if it's less than a month, you're chayv mezuzah. So you could be somewhere for a short period of time, not a hotel room, but if you actually took a rental, brief rental for an Eretz Yisrael, there's a chayv mezuzah. Or you took a 40-day rental in Chutz La'aretz. So you want to put mezuzah. Sometimes you have to leave the mezuzah when you leave. We'll get to those dinim and simrei shtariyav. Let's say it's a situation where you're not going to need to leave the mezuzah behind. So how do you could just nail up and take it down. The landlord may not be happy that you're leaving behind the holes. So how would you put the mezuzah up in a short-term fashion? So the shach says, yeah, you can put it up in a short-term fashion. You'll have a little bit of glue. You get a glue stick, and you put it up. It wouldn't last there. It wouldn't stay up for months, but it'll stay there for a couple of weeks, and then you'll take it down. The shach thinks that if you have a short-term situation, you could put it up in a non-kavua fashion. The Chovav Zadar says, I think that's how we usually assume, that no, even if it's short-term, we don't accept the Bach's kula, even if it's short term, has to be kavod b'chozek. So how do you put something up? Let's say it's takan lengi up for a short period of time. So Rav Shechter quotes in the Rav that he thought that scotch tape is considered to be kavua b'chozek. It's easy to take down, but if you leave it undisturbed, it can stay there for months and years. So he assumed that that is considered to be kavua b'chozek. Look, even if you nail in the mezuzah, you could also, once you're through with a block of wood and a claw hammer, you could take a mezuzah off very quickly if you know what you're doing. But kavua b'chozek presumably has to do with not your inability to remove it, but that if left to its own devices, it can last. So that's what Rosh Hashanah quotes to the Rav. Scotch tape is considered to be kavua b'chozek. So if you're in a relatively short-term rental, that's what my father-in-law does every summer in Tannersville. He shows up, and they rent the same house every summer from an Achri, that summer home. Shows up with mezuzahs, tapes them up at the beginning of the summer, and takes them down at the end of the summer, based on this psak of the Rav. And that is considered to be, again, that without relying on the Shach's Bach, even though it's a short-term situation, so the Rav assumes that scotch tape is considered to be kavua b'chozek. The Chovas Hadar quotes from some of the Hungarian poskim that they had a hakpada. I don't know if it's based on Alpi Kabbalah, I'm not sure, that it has to be davka attached with metal nails. You can't use tape, and you can't even double-sided tape or something like that. That's the davka be masnerim shel matechas. So if you're of Hungarian extraction, you have that family practice, or if you're a makubal, that's part of your masor and kabbalah, so then by all means. But otherwise, if that's not your particular minig, I don't think that's widely accepted. And the truth is, it would take work to figure out how to square that with what the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch quote, that one way is to attach it to masmer, but the other way is to drill into the doorway and just slide the mezuzah in. There's no masmerim there at all. No need for any matachas. So Al-Pi Pashas, even if you are attaching it, it doesn't have to be masmerim shel matachas, whatever type of device, metal, plastic, acrylic, what have you, whatever it takes to attach it firmly, to have kvias b'chozek. And the truth is, if you, I mentioned last time, but Yitzhar Hirschfeld's work, Palestinian dwellings in the Roman period, he showed you many, many pictures of homes that were uncovered in archaeological digs in Eretz Yisrael that date back to the period of the Tanaim. So you see a number that have a groove in the stone doorway, clearly meant for a mezuzah. So that was what the Gemara mentions, that the Rambam Shulchan Aruch quoting was a common. It was definitely a common practice. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says here. And then the Shulchan Aruch adds another din. The Shulchan Aruch adds another din also, and that is based on the Gemara in Lamed Gimel and Beis, that lo yamik lachbor tefach ba'omek shem asa kem sula, that you can't, if you're going to drill into the doorway and slide the mezuzah in, that's fine. But you can't drill in too deeply. You can't drill more than a tefach in, because then your mezuzah is going to, the mezuzah is so deeply in the wall, depressed in the wall, that there's more than a tefach of space, of distance from the mezuzah to the chalal ha-pesach. Or, this comes out, we rarely drill holes into walls to stick a mezuzah in, but sometimes you have a doorway that's so skinny that there's mamish nowhere to put the mezuzah and the chalal ha-pesach. Let's say all you have is a screen door. Not a screen door and a wooden door together. Let's say you have like a Florida room. You have a screened-in room, and the door is just a screen door. So often there is no place in the chalal ha-pesach where you could put a mezuzah. It's gonna hold back. The door won't be able to close. So then you're going to put it facing you on the wall. There is no option to do it the chalal ha-pesach. You have to have it face you on the wall, so that's fine, put a face you on the wall, but make sure that's within a tefach of the door space. You can't slide it over so far. Yeah, this, just in terms of understanding this din that the Gemara has of tefach, I don't know whether whether Achrom talked about this directly, but it could be it's the notion that the mezuzah has to be within a tefach of the door space. It could you find elsewhere, you know, and if you learn Hilchos Sukkah, so in the world of mechitzas for Shabbos, mechitzas for Sukkah, there's a din of lavud, that if two items are within three tefachim of each other, that's mishnayis, then it's considered to be connected. Outside, in the world of mechitzas, Shabbos and Sukkah, the shear of lavud is that you can ignore the intervening space, is gimel tefachim. Outside of the world of mechitzas, there's often a notion of one tefach. Machlok is Rashi and Tosis. When you do a kinyan hagbah, how high do you have to lift it? You pick up a kos shel bracha, how high do you have to lift it? Alpipashas, both of them, has to be a tefach. If it's a tefach, alpipashas, you don't need gimel tefachim, because that's not din of mechitzas, but it needs to be a tefach off the ground to be mugba, to be mugba for kinyan hagbah, to be mugba for kos shel bracha. In the world of hilchas aholos, in the world of tumas meis, you look at the tumah spread, and you have a tumas mace, a mace or a significant piece of a mace underneath the roof. So the tumas spreads, olam shachar, the tumas spreads throughout that entire roofed in area. So the Mishnayos say, let's say you have a break, Mishnayos and Olos is also alluded to at the very end of Mishnayos Shabbos, into the 24th Perek, that if you have a break, let's say you have an ohel that extends mace under the roof, and then the roof extends, and then there's some space, and then the roof continues. So if the space is more than a tefach, the tumah can't jump across. But if the space between two roofs is less than a tefach, then it's considered connected, and the tumah jumps across. Comes up all the time, you have a tree hanging over a beis hakvaris and hanging over the street. So that often could be an ohel hamshacha that transfers the tumah from the beis hakvaris to whoever's driving under the tree. However, in the winter, when all you have are the skinny branches, which are typically less than a tefach wide, that doesn't count as an ohel hamshacha, because it needs to be a sheer tefach. Or if you have you have the eaves, you have maces inside a building, let's say for simplicity, door is open, it's going to be open, so the tumah comes through the door to the awning outside, and then does a wrap around the side, the eaves, a little bit of the roof that sticks around the side of the building, depends whether that protrusion is a tefach wide or not. It comes up all the time in terms of where a kohen could stand if he's attending a levi from outside the building, trying to figure out what to do with sometimes with the hospital. The eaves that they extend from the morgue entrance. So in all of the, why do I mention this? In all of these cases, there's a lavud-like din outside the world of mechitzas, outside of Shabbos, outside of Sukkah. You have by kinyan hagbah and by hagbas kol shel bracha and by aholos poseach tefach. The minimum shear, the minimum shear of the ohel is a tefach by a tefach with a tefach of space and height. And if there's less than a tefach break from one to the next, they're considered to be connected. So you see this notion that outside the world of mechitzas, there's a lavud like din of toch tefach. That if something is within tefach of the other, they're considered to be mitzurif to one another. If there's more than tefach of space, then unless you're talking about mechitzas, they are not mitzurif to one another. So this may be the same type of a din. That the mezuzah has to be mitzurif to the doorway. I could have imagined it has to mamish be touching. You remember that the Pesachet Shuvah earlier in the seminar quoted a difficult drach who said that you can't even wrap the mezuzah in anything. The cloth can't be wrapped in plastic or anything because it has to be, it sounds like there's a din of chatzitza. That's very difficult. After all, as the Shulchan Aruch here quotes from Ram Shalom, quote from the Gemara Bava Mesia, you can put the mezuzah in guvta tekanya, you can put the mezuzah in a case. So Abi Pasha is not a din that has to be nogeya, mamish. That you don't have to have, it sounds not like putting the tefillin on your arm. But the mezuzah doesn't have to be as attached to the doorpost as the tefillin is to your arm, but it has to be mitzuruf. To be more than a tefach away, that's already not mitzuruf. That's what the Gemara is saying. This lavud like din that outside mechitzas, I think Rabbi Shechter put some of these dinim together. That outside the world of mechitzas, outside of Shabbos and Sukkah, there's a lavud like din of tefach. Then you have one more point about this end of the of Sif Dalet. Well, Yav Muklach Bar Tefach, and in general, the question of drilling is an interesting Pischechuva. Interesting Pischechuva. Sif Katan Hay in the Pischechuva, he quotes from the Yad Katana, which is a sefer. I believe the Yad Katana is a sefer on, if I remember correctly, in the first three svarim of Mishnah Torah. I believe he wrote on Mada Av and Zman. So here, the Pischechuva quotes in the Sif Katan Hay, quotes the Yad Katana, that the mezuzah ought to be visible. You're going to drill, if you have the mezuzah beguf tizikanya attached to the wall, so of course it's visible. But if it's drilled in, you have to make sure that it's visible. And he thinks that if there's no indication whatsoever that the mezuzah is there, because you drilled it in, and it's plugged closed, ain't a nearest vinicker klal. He a remarkably robust approach. Ainam yotzim b'zeh. He says the hamon. He said many people drill it in and they stick the mezuzah, and your mamash can't tell from the outside that it's there. And then he thinks you're not yotzim. He said you better make sure there's some sort of simon, some sort of hecker that the mezuzah is there. This happened, the stories that they tell about Jews in communist Russia who were surreptitiously trying to keep mitzvahs. And that's sometimes what they did. They had no choice. The only way they could put mezuzah, they drilled in and they slipped the mezuzah into the hole and they plugged up with a piece of wood and finished it so there was no indication that there was anything going on. But they knew that the mezuzah was there. Okay? So we don't necessarily pass them like the Yad Katana. It's an interesting idea that he suggests that there has to be nicker. It's maybe related to the Pischei Tshuva, we'll get to Bli Neder, the Siman Resh Pei Vav, near the beginning, he says that ideally the mezuzah should be visible, mamish, not just that you see the case, he says the Pischei Tshuva right near the beginning of Siman Resh Pei Vav, he says ideally, they didn't have lucite, but he says ideally you should have a glass pane on your mezuzah case, so that way the mezuzah is visible. So that's Lieser says to not be able to see the cloth. Here the Akatara thinks that at the very least you should be able to tell that it's there. At least you see the case or you see some sort of something on the doorway that tells you that the mezuzah is there. Okay, so that's an interesting chiddush of the Yad Katana. Certainly, ideally, we would want to do that. And the concept of the Yad Katana, again, accords with what we spoke on the very first Chabura, the learning Simi Resh Behe, that, and how the Rambam appears to have understood the Gemara of Avodah Zarah about Akilas and the touching, the focusing on the mezuzah, that the Rambam describes. That a person walks by and walking through a doorway will at least sometimes, if not always, provoke you to think about the ideas of mezuzah. So then the cumulative impact of that is going to be massive. If it's not nikar whatsoever, you're going to miss out on that. So whether or not we hold like Yad Katana, that's ma'akev, but certainly we understand why it is ideal that if it's drilled in, it should be nikar. Clearly, it does have to be toch tefach. That they can be clear about, and at very least, it's ideal that should also be nikkar that there is a mezuzah there. Question? Yeah.
In the case where the door that's totally flush against Kala Pesach, would it be better to dig in and stick it in than Rachari does?
Yeah, that's interesting. You're saying when you have, let's say, like the screen door, if there's no wood door and you have to put it by the screen door, would it be better to drill in? It's not always.
Or even like a door like this. Let's say there wouldn't be any.
Yeah, we don't do the question is why. Say if you have like a metal door like this, it's not practical to drill in. And you have a wooden doorway, wouldn't that could have been a third solution. When we're talking about the flush door, then you have to figure out you're going to put it facing you off the Challah Pesach, you put it in the Challah Pesach behind the door, on a drill right behind the door. Maybe that's also a Charedels though. Maybe it's only not a Charedels if you, the drilled hole is in front. I'm not sure. Got to think about that. Maybe. It may not be the easiest. I'm not sure how you would think about a Chori Adals in that context. So that's Siv Dal. Again, the Kviyas, and specifically the Kviyas Bechozek, and again, the Shach quotes in the Bach that you don't always need Kviyas Bechozek. Chovas Adar thinks you do always need Kviyas Bechozek. The Rav's idea that Scotch tape is considered to be Kviyas Bechozek. And this Hungarian chumra about the metal masmer, which is not the pashtus. And then the dinim in terms of if one's going to go the chafira route, so number one, the din of that has to be toch tefach. We spoke about why that might be. And the pischei tshuvas ha'ara that if you're being chofer, you also should make sure that it is nikar. And as an aside, if you're chofer right behind the door itself, the door closes on it, that would also be very much not nikar. In terms of the,
I think if you open the door.
Maybe when you open the door, you see it. Maybe. Okay. Could be. Now it's Sifhei. Sifhei is based on one or two Gemaras in Menachos, and that is a din of Taase v'lo min ha'asui. The Pepul Harifta, I think it is, in the bottom of the it's a Madan Yamtif, on the bottom of the Rosh. Hilchos Mezuzah points out. Not only is the concept Tasa L'Asui borrowed from Mezuzah, the language is also, borrowed from Sukkah, the language is also borrowed from Sukkah. The big sugya is in Sukkah, but you have it here as well. Mishnayos in Sukkah talk about you dig out, you have a haystack, and you dig out a hole, or you lay the schach first and then build kosher walls afterwards, so that's not kosher. Even though, by the time Sukkah rolls around, you have properly formed walls and topped with properly formed tzach, but that tzach is not kasher. Why? Because the pasuk says chak sukos tasa lecha. Chazal darshan that ta'as said doesn't only refer to the chag, it refers to the sukkos. The sukkos have to be al yidei asiyo. I mean, the sukkos are al yidei asiyo, as opposed to they grew on their own. No, it means that the hechsher asukkah had to come al yidei maisa. So if I already have walls and then I place the schach, so the placement of the schach is asiyas asukkah, and now it's kosher. So that's good. The hechsher sukkah came by maisa. But if the schach is already there, but you don't have walls, so it's not kosher yet, and then I build walls. That's not ko'ai, the building walls should be asiyah? No. Because the core of the sukkah means an item that gives shade. The core of the sukkah is, that's what Rashi points out at the very beginning of the Masechta. The core of the sukkah is the schach. You have to have walls also. But asiyas asukkah means placing the schach. So if the heksher sukkah doesn't come through asiyas asukkah, through placing the schach, then it's not kosher. So that's the language. Often use the poskim sometimes use the Rosh HaTevis, tulma, taf vav lamin mem hei, you saw, taas lamin asay. The Gemara uses that nusach, taas lamin asay, not only in sukkah, but here in Menachos as well. Beferish on Lam and Gimel and Beis. The Gemara says, Chatech Yinuch, Sof Hebed. If you have your door frame, you can go to Home Depot and buy a door frame. They come pre-made, if you want. The door frame, you can even get a door frame with hinges and a door attached. And then, after you build the rest of the house, you have the hole is framed, and you take a door set, and the fellows who are doing construction, whether you're doing yourself or you hired someone, you're going to attach that door set, that door frame, to the house. So the Gemara says, "Lam gimel beis." That's Shulchan Aruch quotes over here. He says, "Hey, kevav mezuzas haPesach va'od the telusha." Again, here you have that wrinkle of language. Mezuzas haPesach is the door frame, the doorpost, as opposed to the mezuzah. Mezuzas haPesach again is the biblical sense of mezuzah. So if I attach the mezuzah to the mezuzah, attached the cloth to the door frame, before I've attached the door frame to the house, before it's installed, va'oda telusha, and then chibur le'pesach, and then I take the door frame and I attach it to the doorway, That's no good. The Gemara says Beferish, Tasa Vlam and Asis. And my Dani Yamzer points on the bottom, it's a curious use of language. Ta'ase v'lom min ha'asoy is really a sentence. It's a drasha. Ta'ase is in quotes. Or if some sort of, they would have put ta'ase, Mishnah Sedur would put ta'ase into Ksav Ashuras. Ta'ase, that's what the pasuk says. Chaksu goes ta'ase, l'cho. And the Gemara darshins v'lo ta'ase as opposed to min ha'asoy. So he points out that it's ironic to use that phrase here. We're not darshining ta'ase v'lom min ha'asoy by mezuzah. There's no word ta'ase by mezuzah. Ta'ase is by sukkah. Maybe we're darshin uchsavtam. Or maybe it's a mamatzinu. Maybe it's a mamatzinu. So that's what the Madani answer points out. But the Gemara certainly is highlighting that it is the same type of concept. Madan Yantav says, no, uchsavtam al mezuzah beisecha means you have to write it. I mean, writing it meaning, as we saw the Gemara Zalam Adal, attach a written cloth when it's already mezuzah beisecha. The mezuzah has to already be attached, mezuzah pesach has to be attached to the house before you attach the mezuzah. Okay. So, but we borrow the terminology of tas of lam and osi, which is familiar to us from sukkah, because it's a parallel concept. Two nekudos about this. The Pischei Tshuva and Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Pischei Tshuva talks about a practical consideration. He talks about also from the Yad Ketana in Sifkat and Zayin. If you ever, the background is like this. If you ever walk into a well maintained garage, so you may see sometimes people want to have racks to hooks, whatever it is, attached to the wall in the garage. The problem is that typically the walls of the garage are often concrete instead of plasterboard. How are you screwing in hooks? So what you'll often see is that there's a small piece of wood attached to the screwing to the concrete, and the hooks are screwed into the wood. That's called that piece of wood is called a backing plank. That is not new technology. It's at least a couple hundred years old. How do I know? Because Yad Ketana talks about that. He says, let's say you have a marble doorway, gorgeous, a marble doorway. So how do you attach your mezuzah to a marble doorway? So he says, well, you need to use a backing plank, which unfortunately will probably take away a little bit from the aesthetic of the doorway, but okay, it's a small backing plank. But he says you're going to have the mezuzah attached to a rectangle of wood, and then you'll take that wood with the mezuzah already attached and screw or somehow attach that piece of wood to the Pesach Shel Shayish. Question is, maybe that's Tassel and also that sounds like that's what the Gemara said. You already attach your mezuzah to the door frame, and then you attach your door frame to the house. He says, isn't that Tassel and also? He says, no, that is not a problem. It's not the same at all. He says, that backing plank is tafel to the mezuzah. Let's reductio ad absurdum. You put the mezuzah in the case before you attach the case to the wall. Is that Tassel and also? No. Because the case is tafel to the mezuzah. So the backing plank is also tafel to the mezuzah. What's the Gemara talk about? The Gemara talk about you have a full-length wooden post. That's not tafel to the mezuzah. That's your doorpost. You attach mezuzah to your doorpost, and then you attach that doorpost, install that doorpost. That's the problem. And in fact, if you look in Hirschfeld's monograph, so he points out that it was common with Kufas Chazal that they would have homes made out of stone, but then they would have a wooden door frame sometimes. Sometimes they have a wooden door frame that they would install in the space in the stone. So those wooden strips, that's your door frame, that's your patsim. That's what Chazal are talking about, that full-length door frame. They had what we had, a full-length door frame. If you just have a little backing plank that you attach to mezuzah, the backing plank, that backing plank is just like a larger case. That's tough felt to mezuzah. That is not a problem. Question? Yeah.
What's this, tough felt to mezuzah? Why don't you just say it's not the doorpost? That's kind of what everything
is. Maybe. You're saying, especially if you say, that's a good point. You're saying, especially if you say, like the Madani Yom Tov, that's really that uchsavta mezuzah beisecha, the mezuzah has to be. The mezuzah pesach already has to be shalabayis.
Yeah, like
so you're saying
So again, my tafel. Is this a mezuzah or is it not a mezuzah? Vacuum pipe isn't big enough to be mezuzah pesach. That's a good point. Yeah, maybe that's a smoother way of saying it. Yeah, that's a very good point. Probably a smoother way of saying it. And then the other important detail here about tassel and osir, there's a lot. The world of tassel and osir is very, very rich. Very, very rich world. Rabbi Akiva Eiger gives us a peek here into the world of tassel and osir. He points at an interesting machlokes. The Maharas Sasson, one of the early Achronim, wrote a Tshuva Sefer, and the Magen Avraham, one of the early Achronim, wrote a Peirush on Shulchan Aruch HaRachaim. Because the Gemara's scenario was I have a door frame, and I'm going to attach it now. Before I attach it, I'm going to put the mezuzah on. And that's the scenario that may have come up. The other possible Gemara of Tosfos Ma'asi by mezuzah is an Amud earlier, Lama Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Reish Galus asked Rav Nachman, they had a close relationship. Reish Galus asked Rav Nachman, I just built a house, please come and put my mezuzahs. And he comes and he says, I can't. You haven't Tali Dashi Bereish. You got to first put up the Dashi, and then I can put up mezuzah. So how do you understand that? So we saw the Tosis had said that had nothing to do with Asui. It's a question of Hekert Seer. There were Shilas, but where to put the mezuzah? I said, I need that. You don't have the doors, so I don't know which way the doors swing. I don't know the Hekert Seer, so I can't put mezuzahs yet. But Rashi, Tosis points out, he's disagreeing with Rashi, who says that Gemara has to do with Tosav Lam and Asui. I can't put, Tosis understands it meant attach the doors first. But Rashi understood it meant attach the door frames. Mamish this case. And the third approach to that Gemara, by the way, is that of the Rambam, who agrees with Tosfos in terms of the terminology. The word dashi means doors, but the Rambam says not a question of Hekert Seer. The Rambam sees this Gemara as a source for his, he sees in this Gemara a new din, that you're not chayev, we'll get to this when we beyond Sukkos, Resh Pei Vav, Resh Pei Zayin. Rambam thinks that in order for a doorway to be chayav mezuzah, one of the pieces of equipment it needs is a door. Rambam thinks that the doorway between your living room and dining room does not need a mezuzah, because there's no door. Most Rishonim disagree. We are not makel like the Rambam. But the Rambam's ruined this Gemara. He says, and what does that do with this Gemara? So he says, Tuli Dashi Beresha, until you have doors up, this is not a space which is chayav mezuzah. So what does it help? You can put that's sort of like a different twist on Tosfos and Asui. Not that you attach, and that may come back to, not that you attached it to a door frame before the door frame was physically installed in the house, but you attached it to a door frame before the door frame was halachically chayv and mezuzah. So post them talk about the Derech HaChaim, the Emek Bracha calls the Derech HaChaim, if I'm going to install a mezuzah before the roof is on. That may also be a tasa. Maybe that's also a similar type of a tasa, v'lom and ha'asui issue. So the case in Lama Gimel and Aleph is new construction. So what the Ruki Eger declares, how about old construction? Specifically, how about you had a door frame with a door, with a mezuzah, and then you removed the door frame and put it back on. You remove the door frame and you put it back on. So that Ricky Nager points out, he says, Maras Sasson thinks that is a problem of Tasa Elom and Ha'asa. Because once you took it down, now the mezuzah is attached to a door frame that's not chayiv, it's not functional, you put it back up, that's not a proper kviyas mezuzah Tasa Elom and Ha'asa. They point out the Magen Avraham thinks that will be fine, he thinks. Based on Magen Avraham, no Magen Avraham Hilchas Mezuzah. Magen Avraham only wrote on Aruch Chaim, but in Hilchas Tzitzis, Magen Avraham has discussions about Tasa and Asui. So Magen Avraham thinks that let's say you had a beged, a properly made beged, the tzitzis are tied onto the corner, you rip off the corner, and then you sew it back on. Magen Avraham says that's not a problem with Tasa and Asui. Why? Because the original Kshira was Behechsher. That's the Magen Avraham's chiluk. The Tasam Ha'aseh by Sukkah and Tasam Ha'aseh by Mezuzah is that when you attach the Mezuzah to the door frame, it was meaningless. And then the Heksher came later. But the Magen Avraham thinks, if there originally was, it was put up a Heksher, then it comes off and goes back on, Magen Avraham thinks that's not Tasam Ha'aseh. My Ras HaSohn thinks that it is. It's an interesting machlok. If you look in the Emek Bracha, Ra'ele Pomeranchik's Sefer and Arachayim, he was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, he grew up in Brisk, and learned by Brisker Rav for many years. So in Emek Bracha, he has Arachayim defined broadly. So he has Makas there also, and Mezuzah there also. Sort of like Chayadim also has Makas, Mezuzah, and Chayadim, Dan Chachmas Adam. So the Emek Bracha points out that there seems to be a steer in the Derech Achayim about this issue. If it was done the Heksher and then came off and you put it back on, is that good or not? It says that Rikidega has a machlokas marasasa and the Magen Avraham, the Derech Achayim seems to be on both sides of the issue. So he raises that as an interesting problem. So again, Sif Hei is this din of Tasav Ma'asui, rooted in Mishnayos and Gemaras and Sukkah, but in the Mezuzah context, it certainly is a Gemara and Mount Lama Gemara Beis, may also be, according to Rashi Rambam, the Gemara and Lama Gemara and Aleph. A question about the backing plank we make on, and then Kiveyu quotes an open machlokas achronim. If it was originally attached to Heksher but then came off and goes back on, is that tasim lamna asli or not? And then finally, Se'if Vav. So Sivav is this Gemara Dav Lamed Gimel that unfortunately we're missing the Gemara's pictures. The Gemara has a stira whether if you put up a mezuzah to min nagar, is that good or is that not good? The Gemara says, well, there are two types of nagar. It could be a sichta. Do you mean like a sichta or do you mean like an istavira? Like an istavira is kasher, but like a sichta is possible. As you saw, the problem is we've shown and pointed out, well, we're not sure what does a sichta look like, what does istavira look like. A sichta seems to mean a peg. So there are two ways of putting a peg. I can knock a nail into a wall to hold up a picture, then the nail, that sichta is horizontal. Or I could knock a tent peg into the ground to hold up a tent, something some of us become more sensitive to in the last couple of years. So those big metal, and some of us have seen tents more frequently, more recently, Baruch Hashem, very recently, we have not been seeing so many tents, Baruch Hashem. So, but you may remember, so oftentimes in order to, you have guy lines, ropes outside of the tent to help to stabilize the tent, attached to the guy lines run from the top of the tent, typically, or the side, down to pegs that have been knocked into the ground, vertically. So a sichta could be horizontal, a sichta could be vertical. If istavir is an ankle, well, part of your ankle is horizontal and part of your ankle is vertical. That's why you have an ankle joint. The question is, as you saw, machlek is Rashi Taisis. So a lot of literature, the later Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Rosh, and the Mordechai, that goes, mind, they all talk about this debate. Rashi thinks that vertical is kasher and horizontal is not. And the other times thinks that horizontal is kasher and vertical is not. And the Mordechai in particular stresses the fact that this is a global machlokas. It's not about mezuzah, this is about tefillin, this is about Sefer Torah. Rabbi Yonatan thinks that the Sefer Torah really ought to, Tosfot talks about this, but Mordechai is Marach. Rabbi Yonatan thinks that the Sefer Torah ought to be horizontal. Ashkenazim have the Sefer Torah horizontal to lean from, unlike Sfaradim have the Sefer Torah vertical even to lean from. But the question is, maybe not only should Ashkenazim, who are following Rabbi Yonatan, have the Sefer Torah horizontal laying from, maybe you have to place the Sefer Torah horizontally when we store them in the Aron Kodesh. That's what it sounds like. Schechter said, I don't think it was meant entirely tongue-in-cheek, that it's, machlek is how you put Svarim in the bookshelf. Put the Svarim in the bookshelf standing. Rashi, you put the Svarim in the bookshelf like that, stacked flat. Again, it's not really the same thing because it doesn't have Kedusha Sefer. I don't think we even machmir for Rashi in terms of Sifrei Nachan Klaf necessarily. But it is an issue how you put Sifrei Torah away. And in terms of the Klaf, I neglected to bring along Apostle Tefillin to show you. If you open up Tefillin, so you'll see that the Tefillin are rolled if you look into tefillin, you see the hole. In other words, the roll, the cloth, when they're on your head, if you could look inside, the cloth are standing vertically. That's Shitas Rashi. Rabbi Natan would have the cloth rolled with a space, the axis is horizontal. And even Rabbi Natan tefillin should be noted. Rabbi Zimtun Rashi Rabbi Natan tefillin is only one particular machlok is Rashi Rabbi Natan, which is, and how do you sequence the parashios when you put them into the tefillin? But there are many other issues, machlokes and Rashi Rabbi Natan, when they make Rabbi Natan tefillin, on all the other issues, including horizontal versus vertical, they follow Rashi. I think they say the name of the Gra. They say, if you're really getting machlokes for all the machlokes in, you need to have not two pairs of tefillin, Rashi Rabbi Natan, you need to have 64 pairs of tefillin. Because if you have six different binary machlokes in, you want to cover all your bases, the two of the six is 64. So that's a big machlokes. How do you position, say, for Torah? How do you position tefillin? How do you position the mezuzah? So you have Rashi and you have Rabbi Natan. Ought it to be vertical? Ought it to be horizontal? Then you dig deeper than we showed them. They have two other approaches also. Maram and others. Some say that the istavira. Rashi says istavira is vertical. That's what you want. Rabbi Natan says istavira is horizontal. And then you have Maram and others who say istavira means L-shaped. How you do that with mezuzah is a little bit of a challenge. You know, bend a cloth in half, it may not stay kosher for so long. And then the fourth approach we've shown him is that it should be diagonal. But that's what istavira means, is diagonal. Now you look in Shulchan Aruch, you look in very, very, you saw the Rishon Aruch, very, very vigorous machlokas. You look in Shulchan Aruch says, Rashi, period. Tzrichat liyav zekufa orkul orach mizuz ha-pesach, it's vertical, zehu. And then he quotes the Rishalmi, that the Rishonim quote in this context. Rishalmi says you need to have Shema l'tzad chutz, which particularly according to Rashi, means that when you roll the mezuzah, you put it into the case, you want the edge to be facing the Chalal HaPesach, not facing the door frame. When I'm walking through, if I could see through the mezuzah case, I should see the edge with Shema facing towards the person walking through. And it's easier to understand according to Rashi, because according to Rabbi Natan, typically if horizontal didn't mean horizontal parallel as I walk in, but horizontal drilled into the wall, in which case it's hard, as we show and point out, it's hard to understand how you, what it means, Shema l'tzad chutz. Then there's a funny Ramah. Mechaber said, Chlor like the Shulchan Aruch. Ramah says v'cheinagu, but yesh omrim that you do it diagonally, and that's what we do. V'chein roi linog. So funny way, v'cheinagu vertical, but then he says roi linog diagonal. So the shach points out v'cheinagu is not us; that's them. He says that's part of the comment on the mechaber. The mechaber says if there ought to be, and indeed that was the practice in the areas that followed the mechaber, meaning among Sfaradim. That's how the Shach understands the contest. But Yesh Omrim, that's Ashkenazi practice. That we're not so excited to put it vertically. Maybe vertical is possible. Psula b'zkufa. We want it to be Yesh Omrim, Rabbi Natan, that vertical is possible and horizontal is kosher. Medakta, can we go on to say Yotzin de Shneim? You do it at a diagonal, and that's what you ought to do. That's what you ought to do, and that is indeed what we do. And then he points out an additional layer of Shema Letzad Chutz is you're going to want to have the Shema Letzad the Pesach is you're going to want to have the Shema, the angle is going to be with the top facing in and the bottom facing out. When you're looking at a mezuzah, the top, like here, if you stand in the Chalal Pesach and you look at the mezuzah, the top is tilted to the left and the bottom is tilted to the right. And the top is tilted going in, the bottom is tilted going out. That's specifically the way we do this shipua. Now you look in the Pizchei Tshuva, you look in the Gra in Sifkat and Yudalid, or you look in the Pizchei Tshuva in Sifkat and Ches. The Gra in Mechaber and Ramos and Medaktikim, that the Gra said, Indian Dina, Kaimel, and Karashi. You don't play games. Pasan like Rashi. And the Pesachei Tshuva quotes that not only does he write that in Shulchan Aruch Shalom, meaning the Be'er Agra, the Chenu Behanhaga Shalom, that's a reference to the Meister Rav, which is a record of the practical personal Hanhagas of the Gra, he has his mezuzahs straight vertical, like the Mechaber, straight like Rashi. But if you're not a Grunik, if you're an Ashkenaz, it's not a Grunik. So you follow the standard Ashkenaz practice like your Amma, but you have it tilted. You have it tilted. So let's talk a pshat in this pshara. Let's talk a pshat in this pshara the Rambam has. The standard Ashkenazi pshat that you have it tilted. It's a funny. I don't point that out in Seder. It's a funny pshara. Are you making it better? You're making it worse. And the Rambam says, "Medachta kim yotzim de shneim." You raise Shamayim based on Pasim Kailas. You raise Shamayim Yetzi De Shneim, which I'm assuming will over circles. We'll learn that. Yetzi De Kulam, how's the Pasim go? Raise Shamayim. Gotta take a look. So you try to cover all your bases, but maybe it's a Chumra Dasi De Kulam. Now it's not horizontal, it's not vertical. Now no one's happy. You don't have Rashi enough Taisus. So how do you understand this Pshara? So a few points. Number one is it depends. It depends whether you think that they're saying this is partial or that's kosher. Does Rashi thinks that it needs to be vertical to be kosher, or that horizontal is partial? At the end time, is saying it needs to be horizontal to be kosher, or vertical is partial. And that's the way the Rama presents it. He starts by saying psula. At the end time, it's psula bizkufa. Vertical is partial. So if you understand that's just sichta is partial. So Rabbi Antam held vertical is possible. Rashi held horizontal is possible. That's why Medakim Yotzim Geishneim. If you do it diagonally, it won't be either. It'll be neither vertical nor horizontal. And Neila, your Yotzim Deikum. That's number one. So one layer of this pshara is probably the assumption that it just has to not be the possible way. So this way, it's neither vertical nor horizontal. For Kosher Chal, that's number one. And number two. You also have that fourth shita that istavira actually means bishipua, and we're seizing, even before we get to that, just in terms of point number one, the Maram also, that has both the vertical and horizontal, got to think about how that relates to this point number one. But again, we'll put Maram aside. So number one, the one layer of the pshara is that if Rashi just held that the horizontal is possible, and Rabbeinu Tam just held the vertical is possible, so if it's diagonal, you don't have either psul and you're good. Number one. Number two is you have that fourth sheet in istavira. Istavira actually means diagonally, so then for sure diagonal is the way to go. And then finally, Beisosef, I believe, quotes from Rabbeinu Rucham that this idea of being b'shipua b'alachsa diagonal, it doesn't mean you do it at a 45-degree angle. It means it's basically a vertical with a little bit of a tilt. Mutik tzas. What does that mean? What that means is, fundamentally, we all hold like Rashi. As Mechaber Gros said, we hold like Rashi, period. We're not concerned with Rantan whatsoever. Just do it vertical, b'zel. The alternative approach Ramah is quoting Al Pi Pashtus, we're basically doing Rashi, but like Mishum Kavod Shabbat Atam, we're not going to make it Mamash vertical. So we'll tip it a little bit, at least Kavod, maybe even according to Shabbat Atam, that maybe that'll be Kasha. But we are Me'ikar, the Ikar Adin, we hold like Rashi. And the Nafkamina in that is the following. The fact that Nikar didn't hold like Rashi is reflected not only in the fact that the ideal angle is a little bit off of vertical, not 45 degrees, but also Post can point out that this Mutik Tzas is ideal when you have that luxury, when you have a lot of space in the doorway, you have enough space to tip it. But let's say you have a very, very narrow doorway, and all you have is a thin strip of space, just enough to fit the width of the mezuzah. If you start tipping it, it's not going to work. So then the postum say, then you put it vertically. and you put it vertically. And just to explain, there could have been another option. I could have said, don't put it in the Challah Pesach, put it on the wall instead of putting it in the Challah Pesach. Then you can tip it as much as you like. That's probably what Rabbi Natan would have done. He would want it to be maybe totally horizontal on the wall side instead of in the Challah HaPesach. But we don't do that because we assume that Challah HaPesach is a more important aspect than trying to chaper on Rabbeinu Tam. So when push comes to shove, when the rubber hits the road, and you have to make choices, Mikra didn't we hold like Rashi, they're supposed to be vertical. If you can, ideally, most of the time, we have the luxury of being able to tip it a little bit to show deference to Rabbeinu Tam. But yeah, part of why we're not so worried, maybe we're missing on both ends, not only because maybe Rashi just passed horizontal, but it's more than that, and that some Rishonim hold it instead of here as diagonal, but more than that, it's basically vertical. It's vertical, a little bit of a tilt. So according to Rashi, we are absolutely safe. I leave you with one fascinating Torah Mada tidbit, and that is to return back to Hirschfeld once more, because he knows his Mishnayos. This fellow Yitzhak Hirschfeld, he clearly knows his Mishnayos. He's quite Mishnayos left and right throughout his work. At one point, he shows you. I mentioned earlier that he shows you a picture of a stone doorway with a groove that had been drilled in, a slot for the mezuzah. As I mentioned before, often they would put in a wooden door frame and attach the mezuzah to the door frame, but obviously those are gone. Those have rotted away typically. But he has a situation where they were chofer. Instead of attaching it to the door frame, they were chofer. So they were chofer into the stone. And he shows you the groove and he tells you, oh, mezuzah. And he mentions the Mishnah about mezuzah. What he doesn't mention is that if you look at that groove, it's diagonal. This is Mitzkufas HaMishnah. It's diagonal. So that's that aligns, no pun intended, but that aligns with this fourth shita that the Beis Yosef quotes. It's not just a question of diagonal in order to make a pshara, but that istavira actually means diagonal. We would not necessarily paskin based on that. That's a discussion in Hilchos Tefillin. To what extent can we use archaeological evidence to paskin Shaz? In terms of Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, the question of Sidron Shal Parshas, so they mentioned that some of the Leir Rishonim say they found that they uncovered an ancient kever and they found loads of pairs of tefillin and they were all Rabbeinu Tam. So maybe that's a riot to Rabbeinu Tam. So other posts can point out that, as with any archaeology, you always have to figure out what are your data and what leaps are you making in interpretation. So some posts can point out, all you know is that there existed some pairs of tefillin. There were people many centuries ago who were writing what we would call Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. It doesn't mean that the Rabbanim at the time accepted that. Maybe there was a shita that was rejected. Or maybe there were people who amaratzim didn't know how to put together tefillin properly. And maybe that's why they were buried. Maybe they're a puzzle. Maybe they're a puzzle for a whole host of reasons, including that. So just because you found data, the question is what you do with that data. So we know that there were Jews, there existed some Jews, B'tkubas HaMishnah, who were putting their mezuzahs at a diagonal. Whether they were Tamei Chachamim or Ami Haaretz is an open question. So whether that's something, we were perhaps not paskin based on that, but independent of the archaeological evidence, the Rama anyways recommends that you should put the mezuzah at a slight tilt. So the Hirschfeld's finding aligns with that very, very beautifully. So Baruch Hashem, of the course of Elzman, we zoche to learn two simanim of the Hilchos Mezuzah, we zoche to see the introductory Simen Resh Pei, and we zoche to dig deeply into a Simen Resh Pei test, the Kfiyas HaMezuzah. If you have a chance over Yom Tov, over Be'azman, Techazer, Matov Manan, we will return after Yom Tov. We'll be ready to dig in to the Mayim Amukim, a much longer simen, simen Resh Pei Vav, as well as the short Resh Pei Zayin, which together present the issues of which batim are chayiv mezuzah, which batim are potter, which Psachim are chayiv mezuzah, which Psachim are potter correspond in a significant part to the sugya in Yuma. We'll be coming back to Menachos as well, but that piece of the discussion, the Resh Pei Vav, Resh Pei Zayin, are you chayiv or not, is rooted in the sugya in Yuma Yud Aleph. And as we're going to see, we're going to be, in terms of Rama, we're going to be shifting our focus from Perek Hei to Perek Vav.